It's the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Shereen Seward. It's a busy time in the State House as lawmakers work to move forward a wide range of legislation and finalize the state's budget. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Wisconsin Public Radio's Sean Johnson is Capitol Bureau Chief. Sean, thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I want to talk a little bit about the budget. It's supposed to take effect this weekend if it's finished by then, but Governor Evers is threatening to veto this over the DEI stuff. Can you explain that? And what happens if the budget remains unsigned on July 1st?
So as far as what happens if the budget remains unsigned on July 1st, it's sort of anticlimactic. In Wisconsin, the way that it works here is if you don't have a new budget in effect by that day, the old budget just rolls over into the next year. And so spending will continue at last budget's level. So you don't get a situation like you do in some other states where, you know, they basically just don't know what to do when they hit a certain deadline. We're not at that in Wisconsin.
Okay. So we don't have this drop dead date that where the state just can't operate.
Yeah. You definitely don't hear. They have recently operated in Wisconsin, like it is kind of a drop dead date to them, but it's just the way that the legislature has worked here. If you look at the last couple budgets, the governor signed them in, you know, early July. So we're kind of on track for that right now. So the second part of your question, though, about the veto, you know, if the governor were to take that step and veto the budget outright, that'd be, you know, that would make for an interesting summer and year in terms of like what would happen next with, you know, the governor and the legislature and, you know, any kind of standoff between the two. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if you just look historically at whether governors veto budgets outright, they just don't, because they have this powerful partial veto pen in Wisconsin that once the budget gets to them, they can rework it in ways that make it more palatable. Gets a little tricky with certain areas of the budget because there's just, I think the general rule that you'd say is that they can't veto money back in to the budget. They can strike stuff out. They can kind of creatively reconfigure words to change the meaning of the budget in some places. But, you know, with like that $32 million actual cut to the University of Wisconsin system, it's a little tricky. I'm not sure exactly how the governor would restore that money. Although there are very creative people that work in budget offices, it seems like this is their time of year to shine.
Yeah. How common is it for Wisconsin to experience a state budget delay? Is this something that happens frequently?
Yeah. I mean, like in Wisconsin recently, they've been just on a clock where once they get around this time of year, they hurry up and pass it. The last time we had a late budget was the last budget under former Governor Scott Walker, where he and Republicans just weren't seeing eye to eye on a lot of stuff. The last really, really late budget we had was under, you know, back in 2007, when you had actually Republicans and Democrats split in the legislature and they went until October. When things get kind of crazy because you have school funding deadlines at that point, which are actually kind of serious, where schools need to know how much money they're going to get or they can't basically operate. We're not there yet. I don't think there's any signs that we're going to be there. You know, it could be that this just turns out you're going to have a busy week this week. It's going to be kind of chaotic in the legislature. And then it goes to the governor, and it could be that it kind of ends up an early July signing like we've seen in recent years with some changes from the governor.
Oh, yeah, I remember that from way back then. Now that you mention it, I had forgotten about that. Let's talk.
That was a long summer.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was. Let's talk a little bit about tax cuts. Wisconsin Republicans passed a plan to cut income taxes by about 15%. Democrats say the cut will mostly benefit the wealthy. Saw a report this morning that showed that I think you have to make more than $70,000 a year for it to make that target. Governor Evers previously proposed a tax cut primarily benefiting low-income and middle-class Wisconsinites. What are the key differences between the two proposals? What are we seeing?
Yeah, the governor's plan was targeted at people, at individuals who earn less than $100,000 and married couples who earn less than $150,000. You know, it was structured in part with you know, like tax credits to get the job done. The Republican tax cut that they passed out of committee last week, that they'll probably pass out of the full legislature this week, was it would cut every income tax bracket that we have here in Wisconsin, including the top bracket, the bracket for you know, wealthiest taxpayers in Wisconsin, which is noteworthy because that is something that they have, even in all their years of control under, you know, former Governor Scott Walker, under their first couple budgets under Governor Evers, they have basically left that top bracket alone and not taken the step of saying, let's, you know, cut taxes for the wealthy. In this case, they would cut every bracket. And, you know, it's an average tax cut of 15% across all the brackets. If you're looking in actual dollar terms, though, you know, the more you earn, the larger the tax cut is going to be, you know, as a percentage. So it's something we haven't seen here in Wisconsin. Democrats added that that top bracket, or increased that top bracket, back in the budget ahead of the Great Recession. So it's been around a while now. And, you know, if this were to go through, it'd be a substantial change and kind of a move toward a flat tax in Wisconsin. Although this is one where I think the governor's partial veto pen could definitely come into play. You know, he could just potentially accept the rest of the tax cut, strike that top bracket, and, you know, the state would just have about $465 million sitting in the general fund if he went that route.
We're talking about state politics with WPR Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. Earlier this month, Governor Evers signed a shared revenue deal into law, and that will increase state funding to all Wisconsin municipalities by about 20%, by at least 20%, I should say. So what programs or institutions are going to be benefiting most from this funding boost?
With that one, that's going to be pretty much anything that you rely on from, I shouldn't say anything, but a lot of the programs that you rely on from your city government or your county government. So police, ambulance, roads, court costs, those are the kinds of things that that shared revenue increase can go toward. And it's, you know, you have a floor of how much people are going to get, but some smaller towns are going to get a pretty sizable percentage increase. And then, like in the city of Milwaukee, it hasn't happened yet, but if the common council there and the county board there approve it, they're going to have a potentially a 2% sales tax increase in Milwaukee and a 0.4% sales tax increase in the county of Milwaukee. So, you know, the biggest thing that they're going to notice there is, you know, there's not going to be massive cuts of like hundreds of police and closing libraries all over the city, stuff like that. If that comes to pass, that's not a done deal, but I think the Milwaukee element of that plan is, I don't think it can be overstated. It's pretty big.
Sean Johnson is WPR Capital Bureau Chief. This is the State Capital Report. You can call in to 800-642-1234. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. The State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Shereen Seward. We're continuing our discussion about the decisions lawmakers are making in Madison. Join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sean Johnson, WPR Capitol Bureau Chief, stays with us. Let's circle back to the DEI issue. Republicans voted yes on a budget cut for the University of Wisconsin, a sum of $32 million. It targets diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts in the university. As we discussed earlier, Tony Evers said that he would veto any bill that contained this kind of cut. So do you expect pushback from state Democrats if Evers does not sign the state budget by July 1st from Democrats?
I think you're going to see a lot of pushback from Democratic lawmakers in the legislature because, I mean, they're not in the position that Evers is. first of all, he's a statewide office holder, of course, and you know he's just got a different political calculus than they do. But he also gets to rework the budget a bit with his veto pen. And so what he ends up proving if he does that would be a little bit different than what comes out of the legislature this week. So I think you're going to hear a lot of Democrats unhappy with this budget. The cut to the University of Wisconsin system is noteworthy because, I mean, one, we're getting into a very hot button cultural issue here. And Republicans seem very eager to wade into it with cutting funding and specifying that it's for diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts at the University of Wisconsin system. Just from a financial perspective, the state has a $7 billion surplus. I've never seen a surplus like that. So to have an actual state funding cut to the UW is, that's noteworthy.
Actually, we have a caller who has a question about the surplus. It's John with us now. Hello, John. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm thinking about the famous economists of our history books, like Stuart Mills and Mr. Keynes from England. Now, we have, according to everybody who's reporting from the bank, $7 billion of surplus. Is that in gold bars? Or how do we collect interest on that?
Huh. Okay. Thanks, John. How do we collect interest on that surplus? Do you know?
So the $7 billion is a projected number. It's basically, just think of it like the state's checkbook. It's the general fund. It is what the legislature's budget office says, you know, based on everything we're seeing with the way that taxes are coming in, the way that spending is going out, looks like on June 30th, at the end of this budget, we're going to have, I think the number is like $6.9 billion now, according to their latest estimate. So I think $7 billion is still a fair weight around it. And, that is basically, that's the baseline that lawmakers and the governor use to build the budget for the next time. They can spend that down. They can, they can sock it away. They can put it into tax cuts, schools. That's kind of what's driving the decisions. As you can see, I mean, the governor's budget would have put a substantially larger part of it in public schools. He would have put more of it in, the UW, other stuff like childcare, broadband. Republicans have prioritized in a big way tax cuts. It's not a surprise exactly, but as you look at the budget big picture here, and they have a $3.5 billion income tax cut, that is what they decided to do with the surplus.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the tech college. I want to shift gears here just a little bit. The state technical college system is the subject of a bill that's moving through the legislature. There's an amendment that was made to the bill that would keep tech colleges from spending property taxes on operations. Ways and Means Committee Chair Rep. John Mocco was listed as the author of the proposal, but WPR requested documents and found that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss had requested the amendment. Why does it matter who wrote or requested this amendment?
I think that when you see Speaker Voss putting his name on something like that, that's a choice. That is him saying, hey, this is something that we'd like to do here potentially. And it could be a way of sending a message to the technical college system. It could be a way of trying to push it through his caucus, but it's a substantial change. I mean, it's basically, I think you could frame it in different ways. It does take away the power of technical colleges to levy local property taxes. By doing that, it takes away that local control. I mean, it would have a huge state investment that would go along with it, but the state would kind of run the technical colleges in Wisconsin. It would be the state's higher ed system in a big way. And so this is something that Speaker Voss was interested in. Last week, when it came up for a vote in the assembly, they decided not to pass it. And I don't think there's any plans to move that forward
No.
now.
Okay.
But it's something that, you know, our colleague Rich Kramer uncovered that the speaker was looking into. I think anytime the speaker is looking into something in the legislature, that's significant because he's the, you know, most powerful lawmaker there.
That's so interesting. We're talking about state politics with WPR Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. Childcare costs are so high for people. I mean, we talk about this all the time. And Republicans voted to defund childcare counts. That's a COVID-era childcare subsidy program. It's expected to run out of state funding by February. Can the program survive without it?
The childcare counts will, you know, barring some action from the state or from the federal government, that program will run out of money in February. And so there are other, you know, state programs that are designed to make childcare more affordable for people with lower incomes. But this particular subsidy, where the governor wanted to spend $340 million and Republicans countered with zero, is, you know, likely set to go away. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to hear a lot about that if that's the end result here, because there are childcare centers who have said that that was part of their business model, basically. If you look at what employees of childcare centers are making and what they could make in other fields, it's a challenge for them to retain people. If they don't have people, they can't take in new kids. If they can't take in new kids, then parents are struggling with, well, what do I do for my child care? And, you know, the Republicans have said that they want to pass legislation at some point this session dealing with the child care crisis. But Speaker Voss has said that he does not think that taxpayers should subsidize it. So, you know, that... Mm-hmm. That's where you get that kind of chasm between the governor and Republicans, where he wants to spend $340 million on this program. They want to spend zero. It's a significant difference.
Yeah.
And there's some real problems in the child care system that could come to light here in a big way over the next couple of years.
Well, and when we talk about K-12 funding, Wisconsin Republicans passed a proposal to increase K-12 spending by $1 billion. It's less than half of what Governor Evers requested. Again, a big difference here. So put those numbers into context for us. Is a $1 billion increase across the state going to make a significant impact on public education? What are your thoughts on that?
So it is about, I think with this one, it's important to point out that the governor is in on that deal. I mean, this is the $1 billion number is a deal that he did cut with Republicans.
Okay.
And, you know, while he proposed roughly, you know, $2.8 billion in his budget that he proposed to the legislature earlier this year, that's always kind of a starting point in negotiations. And he knew he wasn't going to get that exact number from this legislature. So he was celebrating the $1 billion. They were celebrating the $1 billion. I think you would talk to schools in around the state, and depending on their situations, some of them will be happy. Some of them will say, hey, that's not enough. But it's a larger increase than they've seen in recent budgets. And there is a per pupil increase in each year of the budget that's larger than the state's seen recently. So, you know, it's significant. Smaller than what the governor wanted, but it's significant compared to recent budgets.
And finally, I just want to touch on broadband in the last minute we have together. Republicans cut Evers' broadband budget proposal. They want to wait for the possibility of federal funding. It came out this morning that the Biden administration plans to roll out some federal funding for broadband. So is the federal funding going to be the thing that we're waiting for with broadband that will finally bring broadband to all Wisconsinites?
That is definitely what Republicans said they're waiting for here. You know, on some budget issues, it's like hard to parse it out. There's just small differences, or you got to qualify the differences. On broadband, it's another one of those where it's pretty easy to explain. The governor proposed spending $750 million in state funding on broadband. Republicans just zeroed that out. And they said that this round of broadband funding, which I think is going to be announced on Friday, is what they are you know, pinning their hopes on. It's going to be, I think, for Wisconsin, the Public Service Commission said it'd be between $700 million and $1.1 billion for Wisconsin in federal broadband funding. So that's, I mean, that's a huge amount of money for broadband. The Evers administration just said, look, if we really want to build out broadband everywhere, we need this state component too.
Thank you so much for being here today and sharing all this information with us. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Shereen.
Sean Johnson, WPR Capital Bureau Chief. This is the State Capital Report. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.